Narayana namaskritan runtevam narotamam devim saraswati vyasam tato jayam vadirayat nashta prayishu abhadrishu nityam bhagavata sivaya bhavadutam usluke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki om namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jai Hare Krishna. With one dear devotee, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So, this morning, the text is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 2, and text 7. Okay. Kastam tvana dritya paranu chintam rite pashun asatim nama kuryat pasanyama patitam vaitaranyam swakama jan paritapan dushanam Kastam tvana dritya paranu chintam rite pashun asatam nama kuryat pashyan janma janam patitam vaitaranyam svakama jan parita pandyushanam Kastam tvana dritya paranu chintam rite pashun asatam nama kuryat Vashyan jhanam patitam vaitaranyam Svakarma jan paritapan dushanam Hare Krishna. So word for word. Ka, who else? Tam, that. Tu, but. Anadritya, by neglecting. Para anuchintam, transcendental thoughts. Rite, without. Pashun, the materialist. Asatim, in the non-permanent, nama, name, kuryat, will adopt, pashan, seeing definitely, janam, the general mass of people, patitam, fallen, vaitaranyam, in vaitarani, the river of suffering, swakarma, jan, produced from one's own work, Paritapan, suffering, Jushanam, being overtaken by, translation, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. We can go up a little bit. Okay. Who else but the gross materialists will neglect such transcendental thought and take to the non-permanent names only, seeing the mass of people fallen in the river of suffering as the consequence of accruing the result of their own work. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Okay. You can scroll up a little bit. I think so. Purport. In the Vedas, it is said that persons who are attached to demigods, to the exclusion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are like animals who follow the herdsman even though they are taken to the slaughterhouse. The materialists, like animals, also do not know how they are being misdirected by neglecting the transcendental thought of the Supreme Person. No one can remain vacant of thought. It is said that an idle brain is a devil's workshop because a person who cannot think in the right way must think of something which may bring about disaster. The materialists are always worshipping some minor demigods, although this is condemned in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 20. As long as a person is illusioned by material gains, he petitions the respective demigods to draw some particular benefit which is, after all, illusory and non-permanent. The enlightened transcendentalist is not captivated by such illusory things. Therefore, he is always absorbed in the transcendental thought of the Supreme in different stages of realization, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. In the previous verse, it is suggested that one should think of the Supersoul, which is one step higher than the impersonal thought of Brahman, as it was suggested in the case of contemplating the Virat Rupa of the personality of Godhead. Intelligent persons who can see properly may look into the general conditions of the living entities who are wandering in the cycle of the 8,400,000 species of life, as well as in different classes of human beings. It is said that there is an everlasting belt of water called the River Vaitarani at the entrance of the plutonic planet of Yamaraj, who punishes sinners in different manners. After being subjected to such sufferings, a sinner is awarded a particular species of life according to his deeds in the past. Such living entities as are punished by Yamaraj are seen in different varieties of conditioned life. Some of them are in heaven, and some of them are in hell. Some of them are brahmanas, and some of them are misers. But no one is happy in this material world, and all of them are either in class A, B, all of them are either class A, B, or C prisoners, suffering because of their own deeds. The Lord is impartial to all circumstances of the sufferings of the living entities. But no one who takes shelter at his lotus feet, but to one who takes shelter at his lotus feet, the Lord gives proper protection, and he takes such a living entity back home, back to himself. Oma Ginati Vidandasya, Gana Gana Shalakaya, Chakshu Umblitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shcha. He Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostate, Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vishabhanu Sute Devi, Kanamani Hari Priye, Vancha Kalpataru Vestya Kripa Sundibya Evacha Patita Nam Pavanevyo, Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shari Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Namo Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyadi Shacharini Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gurachishe Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Himavya Vachapishundaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. Hare Krishna. So I'll go over the translation again. Who else but the gross materialists will neglect such transcendental thought and take to the non-permanent names only? Seeing the mass of people fallen in the river of suffering as a consequence of accruing the result of their own work. This text is saying a great deal. When I read the text, there's so many points about it. First, Sukadeva Goswami is describing the gross materialist. They are the ones that say there is no God, or God is dead, or some such ridiculous statement like that. They do not think about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what to speak of what he says. And that's too much asking to even obey what he says. But this is the life of a devotee. A devotee is going by the Lord's instruction because the Lord says, surrender to me. Think about me, become my devotee, offer obeisance to me, worship me. The gross materialists don't think to do anything like that. And then the translation continues, they take to non-permanent names only. Non-permanent names. And that's very, very, very interesting. Actually, every living entity in this material world is going through the same sequence of non-permanent names. Why? We take one body and the human body, so we get a name based on the country and the culture, then what happens? We die. Then we take another birth. And definitely you're not going to have the same name as the last life material. You have a different name. Based again on the country that the person was born, the physical body appeared, and also the culture. Then we die again. Then take another body. On and on and on. So where is the permanence? We have one name and only one name in the spiritual world. One. But here, we have plenty of names. According to one life after another, after another, after another. Sometimes I think if we go to this kind of bodies that don't have, the non-human bodies, well, we will be labeled something. We got to do a tree, then there's a particular type of tree, and then that particular place, they say, oh, it's called an apple tree. All right, so we're an apple tree. We don't even have a name then, we just have a class, lumped with other things. So, this is the way it is. No permanent names. And, again, the mass of people, they are in the river of suffering. Because, what? Their results of what they are doing, their karma, the sinful reactions come upon them. Some of them are postponed because the situation is not quite ripe yet for the type of body that they have, for some things that they did in the past for them to pay for it. So then another lifetime, then another lifetime, another lifetime, different things unfolding, and then our desires add even more to it. So I was thinking last night, actually early in the morning, I get up and start reading. There's books on my bedside table. So Brahmahutta I was reading, and the thought just struck me. Devotees have to be very grateful. We have every reason to be grateful to Srila Prabhupada for translating these books, wonderful transcendental books, and taking his spiritual master's instruction, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, his instruction to print, when you get money, print books. As a matter of fact, there was a temple that was a very, very beautiful temple in India, constructed with marble. This is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj's time. And the rooms were so nice that some of you in the renunciates, the sannyasis, everybody was wondering, oh, which room am I going to get? Which room am I going to get? So there was some dissension. There was some argument over that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj talked about sell the building, the temple building, and print more books and distribute them. The loud mudanga. Book distribution that goes all over the world. And this is how more devotees are being made. More eyes are being opened. So that people who are gross materialists would get away from this repeated birth of birth and death. The suffering with old age and disease being part of it too. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying, those who are attached to demigods and exclude the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are like animals who don't know what they're doing. They follow the herdsman even though they're taken to the slaughterhouse. Persons who are attached to demigods, they will die, they will take birth again, because they are not connected to the Supreme Personality of God. And Srila Prabhupada said, they have excluded Krishna in their lives. So they will just follow blindly. They have been misdirected, but they don't know that they've been misdirected. Why? Because they are neglecting the light. They prefer to stay in the darkness, neglecting the transcendental thought of the Supreme Person. So, Srila Rupa Goswami tells us, always think about the Lord. Never forget the Lord. Always, we should be grateful about the situation we're in. To be very, very much connected to the Lord depends on being grateful. It's easier to build our love for the Lord when we're grateful. Grateful for what we have. Material as well as transcendental. Those who are in the material life, leading a material life based on religion, at best go to the heavenly planets. But we have the opportunity not only to be in the mode of goodness, but also transcendence has been so simplified. The chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and that takes us out of this material world to the spiritual world. No more anxiety. Everything is provided. You don't have to struggle to get anything. That is the Lord's love. And when you think about it, to be in this situation, we have every reason to be grateful. To be very, very, very grateful. And the gratitude would bring more appreciation for what we have, and that would help develop love. For those of us that sometimes we do things rather dry and rather mechanically, when we begin to appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we will not do things mechanically anymore. We won't. Because our minds and our hearts will again be working in unison and saying, yes, I'm very fortunate. Nine, we remember something else. The Lord said, share that fortune that you have with everybody else. Either you talk about Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya said you do, or you distribute books, as Srila Prabhupada said to do. Either way, we spread Krishna consciousness. Like that. So, Srila Prabhupada says, the materialists are always worshipping some minor demigods, although this is condemned in the Bhagavad Gita. And then he spends quite a bit of time talking about the demigod situation. Yes, the demigods have been empowered with responsibilities. They are representatives in the material energy. Different things that they have to do to keep the material energy going, the material world. That they've been empowered to. And they've been made, compared to us, humans, they are quite powerful. As His Holiness Yanamala Swami was explaining the other day in a lecture, he said, we as human beings, if we see a soul in an ant's body or a gnat's body, very small body, and if we decide, or even a cockroach, if we decide to kill it, we just either step on it or the two hands, two fingers, tap on it, and that poor soul is gone. Their body is dead. They say the demigods, they are that huge that they can do the same thing to humans the way we do to these little ants. They can actually kill like that. But they don't. And the reason they don't is that they are in the mode of goodness. They're very pious. They understand more, so they don't do those kind of things. But that's how huge they are. And then, of course, they're equipped with more things and more abilities materially. That's why some people go to the different demigods. But what happens? Let's look at the situation more closely. Transcendentalist is definitely not captivated by illusory things because they are non-permanent. They'll be gone. The body will be gone. Everything in this world will be gone after a while. Just different times, that's all. But those who go to, and I know that maybe most of you, if not all of you hearing, are not worshiping demigods at this point. We know that we have to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because we also have to spread Krishna consciousness, sometimes we'll come across people who are thinking that the best thing to do to get ahead in life, in material life, is to worship the demigods. So let's look at the demigod situation. So they are in heavenly plans. Yes, they have responsibilities. And yes, they have materially a lot of things provided to them. They live way better than other people in other parts of the material world. But being a demigod or coming into a demigod's body is a result of pious activity accrued over a period of time. It's like somebody who has lived, if you can make this type of analogy, person who has saved and saved and saved and saved and saved, and that money has piled up, and now they become a very rich person. So they can take a vacation, and take their money and go to a place that's very lavish. Everything is provided. And you definitely can pay for it because you have the money. But guess what happens? Day in, day out, the things that you have to pay for brings the balance of the money down and down and down and down. And it gets to a point where the money is practically gone. Therefore, you cannot stay there anymore. And you have to come unceremoniously back to where you were. That happens to demigods too. This is what happens to them. So yes, at that time, when they're in the heavenly planet and they have accrued so much, and because of that, they are living a very, very wonderful life materially and can even give some things to those who petition them, the demigods themselves are there for a period of time. It's a long time, true enough, compared to our solar system. It's a long time, true enough. But it doesn't matter how huge their credits are that they are actually living off of, it will come to an end. They will also die. They will also have to take birth, not in the heavenly planets anymore, because they've exhausted their credits and come down to this. So why keep going to places like that, the heavenly planets, and then exhaust this and then come back? It is more the goodness alone without transcendence, that takes a person to the heavenly planet. But once we add transcendence to it, which is the most important thing, especially in this Kali Yuga, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare. When we do the transcendental activity of hearing transcendental literature, discussing about Krishna, then chanting his name, that will easily make us remember him, serve him, worship him as he said to do in Bhagavad Gita and also in Srimad Bhagavatam, offer obeisance to him and serve him and be grateful for the opportunity now to go back to Godhead. The Lord is very loving, and sometimes he helps us in so many ways. Sometimes it takes us a while for us to realize how much he's helping us. If you're like me, you're like that. Sometimes we go through changes, and then after a while, we realize through prayer that the Lord is helping us in so many ways. Sometimes he arranges for a future thing to happen before even we know that it's going to unfold like that. So he's always protecting, he's always directing, as long as we are submitted to him. So the key is to surrender and be grateful for all that he does for us. The spiritual master is a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's here. And when you listen to him, you learn so much. So all the spiritual masters give us one thing after another, and the reading also gives us so much information, which will be helpful for our own lives or for someone else when we meet them and we get a chance to talk about Krishna consciousness to them. So, demigods, yes, they have their role, but we have to understand that if you go to the planet of the demigods because we worship demigods, that is not a salvation situation at all. In fact, Krishna, when he had a talk when he was 7 years old, and had a talk with Nanda Maharaj about worshipping Indra, that situation, that discussion came up in the Gaga Samhita. It's discussed a little more closely. So with time, we'll get to that. But this is the situation with the demigods. They themselves need help. They may be better off materially than we are, but they also need help. And when one goes to a heavenly planet, then what happens? He's free from trouble? Of course not. We see so many situations, examples in the Shastra about the demigods being bothered. Dhruva Maharaj, he went to the forest. He started praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to Narada Muni's instruction. And then the weather in the heavenly planets changed. It became too hot. So now they were feeling very, very uncomfortable. Then they had to inquire what was going on. They usually go to Lord Brahma for that. And Lord Brahma asks Lord Vishnu about what's going on. Not to mention things like disturbances from powerful agents, demonic agents, like Vritasura. He bothered the demigods quite a bit. Maharaj Chitraketu, after he was cursed to be that, he had, in the end, Indra had to fight him. But he bothered the demigods quite a bit. Bali Maharaj, he bothered the demigods quite a bit. Sometimes they had to even leave their abodes. Then this is heaven now. So imagine when those things are happening, the demons are taking control like that or giving them hell. That's a heavenly planet that's going through hell, including the demigods themselves. So where is it, and who can say that there is complete lack of anxiety, removal of anxiety in the heavenly planets? It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. They also go through anxiety. They also have to protect themselves. They also sometimes have to go beg after going to Lord Brahma to get help. And these are the demigods that people worship. So that's why it is said even in the Bhagavad Gita that people who worship such demigods, they call them those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires. So in Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, knowledge of the absolute, text 20, kamaistaita hrita jnana, papadyante nya devata, tam tam yamam ashtata, prakritya yata swaya. Those whose intelligence have been stolen by material desires, they surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. Those whose intelligence has been stolen, wanting material desires, they go to demigods. And then they follow that situation. But going to demigods is risky. Demigods themselves, they don't have life forever. They also have to die. They also have to leave. and leave the heavenly planets. Many of them are attached, but they can't stay there forever. So nobody is free from anxiety and problems anywhere in the material world. Those who are freed from material contamination, so when we remove ourselves, detach mentally, all right, so we are in the material world. We have things that we have to use to maintain the body and soul together. But that's because we have a body. And so we do just what's necessary. And apart from that, we spend all our time on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, engaging in His devotional service. So the material contamination is what gives us problems. And when it's not completely washed off, then we are not full, clean, pure devotees yet. And those who don't care about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of course, they are called by nature non-devotees. And they are attracted by the external nature. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada says that it's recommended that whether a person is a pure devotee and is free from all material desires, or is full of material desires, or desires liberation from material contamination, whatever the case may be, that person should surrender to Vasudev, to Krishna, and to worship Him. So, less intelligent people who have lost their spiritual sense, they take shelter of demigods. When Krishna is speaking to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, and he talks about those who worship demigods, the nicest way he put it was, says, yes, they worship demigods. They're actually worshiping me, but they're doing it in the wrong way. And then Papa says, they are less intelligent. They're less intelligent because they're not trying to get out of the material world. They haven't seen the suffering conditions. They don't understand. They don't understand. People who don't go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Papa says they are in the mode of ignorance and passion. And they worship various demigods. So the worship of demigods has to be stopped. And when Lord Krishna was in Vrindavan, the situation came up when he was 7 years old. The pastime of lifting of the Govardhan Hill. Before that happened, what was Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men doing? They were giving puja to Indra, a demigod. Yes, true enough, he is the king of the heavenly planets. But they were doing puja to him, and the Lord asked. The conversation was very, very, very interesting. And in Garga Samhita, it's in Canto 3, Chapter 1. Garga Samhita is also in Cantos. So arrangements were made for the Indra Yagya. And Krishna saw it, so he asked his father. The first question he asked, what's the result of this worshiping Indra? What is the result of worshiping Indra? So is there going to be a material result or a spiritual result? That was the first question. What are you getting out of this worship of Indra? A material result or a spiritual result? So Nanda Maharaj, and in the meantime, the cowherd men were listening now. They were all listening. And the Supreme Personality of God had put the question to his father. And Nanda said, worship of Indra brings both sense gratification and liberation, karma and moksha. And without it, a person cannot be happy in this world. Now, this is how he answered it, according to Brahma Samhita. So when he answered that way, then the Lord said, Indra and the other demigods enjoy living in Swargaloka because of their past karma. He said, his father, because of their past karma, good karma, so they went there. So when their good karma is exhausted, they again enter this world of humans. Please understand that worshipping them does not bring liberation. So immediately, that was Krishna's argument, response to Nanda Maharaj, Indra and the other demigods, they enjoy living in Swargaloka, the heavenly planetary system, because of their past karma. And just like we said, they have accrued so much, but then when that thing, wonderful living, you have to pay for it, with your accrued credit, those get exhausted. You gotta come back to this medium type planet. So that's not liberation at all. It's the first point, because in the meantime, the cowboy men are listening now. And he said, even the demigod Brahma, he's also afraid of that. If that day will be, you know, that time will come, they'll have to leave, they'll have to take birth here. It so turns out that the Brahma for this particular universe, he got the boon of relating to Krishna, and he is definitely a Krishna conscious person, and he is going back to the spiritual world after he leaves his body. But that's not true for all the Brahmas in different universes at all. They can also take birth. When they're, and they live for years, countless years, still, they'll have to come back to the planet of the humans and take birth and again go through that cycle. With another name, no more Brahma post. So the demigods, even the Brahmas in different universes, they are also afraid of the same situation. So what may be said about the fruity workers who are on the earth? So Krishna is saying, they who are actually wise say that endless time is the most powerful, the supreme. But now Krishna started that way. But in the Bhagavad Gita, remember, he's also said, time I am, the destroyer of everything. So indirectly, he was mentioning the supreme personality of Godhead. So then he began to explain with all their heart. Those who renounce material pious results, they are wise and they take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those are the people who attain final and real liberation. So Krishna explained that to Nanda Maharaj and then they were listening. So then Indra Yagya now is in jeopardy. So he said, Krishna continued, the cows, saintly persons, fire gods, demigods, Vedas, and principles of religion, they are all potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari. So, they who instead of worshipping demigods worship Lord Hari, they attain happiness in this life and the next life. So Krishna really started preaching to Nanda Maharaj that you think that you're going to get sense gratification and liberation, but the demigods cannot give you liberation. They cannot. And therefore, then he began to suggest to them, the hill named Govardhan is the king of kings of the kings of the mountains. Then Krishna said, he was born from Lord Hari's chest and has come here because of the power of Pulastya Muni. A little bit about what happened. So by seeing it, one becomes free from having to take birth again in this earth. So now he begins to tell them, first worship the cows, brahmanas, you can definitely include demigods, but make a great offering to Govardhan Hill. And that is the offering of the king of Yajna. That offering is the king of Yajnas and is very dear to me. So now he added himself to it, and of course they loved him very much. So if you do not desire to make that offering, then do whatever you wish. The Lord is always not interfering with our little independence. But of course, Nanda Maharaj loves Krishna, and Krishna has explained that you're worshiping a demigod, but the demigod himself, after this life, he'll have to come back to the medium planet again. So you're not going to get liberation, because the demigod himself is not going to get liberated. So how can he give you liberation? So then, the conversation continues. There was an elder person, Gopa, who is called Sananda, and he knows the principles of religion very well, and he became very pleased when Krishna spoke like that. So then he just basically started saying, Krishna, this is a wonderful explanation. Just go into details about how we can worship Govardhan Hill. So basically, then Krishna begins to describe the details of it. Of course, we know what happened. Indra got upset, and later on he tried to destroy Krishna's devotees. But he got nowhere because Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill and protected them. So definitely the protection is there. We don't have to worry about demigods. Demigods themselves, some of them realize how fortunate we are at this point. Why? The reason is we are in Kali Yuga. Life here is short. Those who are devotees in this Kali Yuga, they chant the holy name of the Lord. Very simple, it doesn't cost money. And they can go back, away from all the anxieties, away from the demons that sometimes attack them, heavenly plans, all of that will be put behind. And they will have the opportunity to have a life, eternal life of knowledge and always being happy. And so some of the demigods is reported are trying to get to the wombs of the devotees, the devotee mothers here on this earth to have a short life. 100 years is very short compared to the life that they live, the extent of life they live in the heavenly planets, and go back. And so we're in that situation. That's why we should feel such great sense of gratitude that we are in a situation that this devotional life is a simplified one in this Kali Yuga. Life is also made short, which means the suffering has been made short. The suffering has been made short. We can leave the body and go back to Godhead. So, in this transcendental thought, thinking of the Lord always is transcendental thought, and the only gross materialist will not take advantage of this. And they are ignorant, just as Srila Prabhupada says, they are like animals being led by the herdsman to the slaughterhouse, and they just follow it, not even realizing that they will not be saved at all. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay. Hare Krishna. So, jai. And let's start talking. Was not schooling. Okay. Oh, no problem. I had another source of looking at this. I was just going. Well, it's not that they haven't heard. That's going to be a little bit, that's debatable. Everybody knows about Krishna. If you know about the demigods, you certainly know about Krishna. Some people even make the mistake of lumping him along with the other demigods. So people do know about Krishna. Who is Krishna? Well, Bhagavad Gita, but those other people who misinterpreted Bhagavad Gita did not comment more on the exalted position and the unique position of Sri Krishna. So that those who did that and wrote Bhagavad Gita and then explained it in those ways, they'll have a price to pay for that. That's definitely misleading others. But when we say that you worship a particular demigod that you were talking about, they just really stick to that. Those are people who are attached to the material energy. They definitely want something. They've seen where they are at. They are neglecting important things. Old age, disease, and then death. Old age and disease, while we're living, we're not dead yet, true enough. But old age is coming. If you're not old, we are seeing other people who are old, and you see how much the body slowed down and how little they can do with their body. Disease affects everyone. They know that. But this is the arena that they want, they think they're going to have a better life if they get some material boon from a demigod. So they're thinking that, all right, so there are some things working against us, but we're going to get something from a demigod if we take their pujas and everything so seriously and do it correctly. But the thing is, they are closing their eyes to the fact that death comes and takes everything away. In other words, their intelligence is compromised. No matter how staunch they are, their activities are, their intelligence is compromised. They are living for a non-permanent situation. They are putting their energies into a non-permanent situation. And many people were like that. Until Srila Prabhupada came and said, "You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time." And explained in so many ways, in very simple words, to convince devotees now who have turned to Krishna that this is actually the best thing to do. So it's not like they don't know, but they are worshipping because they are attached to material energy. They are attached to the here and now. The here and now. They want happiness right away. But this is not a place for happiness. As long as old age is there, as long as disease is there, you cannot be totally happy. So they have settled for what? Breadcrumbs. When there's cake, they've actually settled for breadcrumbs. And so if we do a good job of trying to convince them, maybe then they'll turn to Krishna. Hare Krishna. Who is responsible? It's a very good question, but remember, when a person becomes a devotee of Krishna, sometimes we forget we're devotees of Krishna, therefore we can look at from where we are and look at the others and come up with questions like what you're asking. And that makes sense. But to come to the point of, to the level of becoming a devotee of Sri Krishna, it takes lifetimes. It takes lifetimes. And of a lot of pious credits and lifetimes of wanting to know more about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is really going on in the material world and why we're here and asking all of those questions. Why am I going through suffering? Can it stop? Where does it stop? Where should I go to have? All of those kind of intelligent questions. When a person asks those, then they begin to realize that wealth is not the solution. Other than that, if they haven't come to that level, then yeah, they will believe anybody that tells them about the new material energy. Like right now, we have this guy called Sadhguru, who's become very popular. And he's answering all kinds of questions. He's a Shaiva. He's worship of Lord Shiva. But he's dealing with the material energy. He doesn't know much about Krishna. He doesn't know much about Radha. When they're asking questions about that, he makes all the mistakes in the world. I've heard him, but people are listening to him because they're satisfied. It's funny. It's almost like saying they are satisfied at being ignorant. Because this world tells us it is a world that is so temporary and man has made it even more precarious. We have atom bombs in here, and at any time we can wipe humanity from the face of the earth. Is that sensible? But then people want to be in this particular arena. So they're not thinking about the picture, the bigger picture. And they're thinking about just what pleases them only. And therefore, since they want that, then Krishna just leads them to the person, the kind of teacher that would teach them to do like that. But those of us that are sick and tired of the material world, we want out, then we are led to this, Krishna consciousness. So their own desire has also led them to such gurus. Hare Krishna. Yeah, it's you can shake your head, but it's unfortunate. But it's unfortunate because of what we know from Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, we'd also be in the same, ignorant situation. Hare Krishna. Mataji. Hare Krishna. Krishna's mercy. Hare Krishna. All the credit goes to Srila Prabhupada, Guru and Guranga. Because we share, and of course, with their help, then they give us how to explain these things, but I'm just sharing basically, what the wisdom that they've given us. And so we're very fortunate. That's why I said we have to be very grateful. Very, very, very grateful. Otherwise, we would also be in situations like these people who are listening to other, you know, teachers, blind teachers themselves, who are asking them to go to demigods. Oh, and by the way, they are cared for very nicely, these gurus, huh? By their disciples. So then they keep, oh, do you like that? I'll tell you more about that. But they are lost, and the gurus are lost too. And they will be punished even more. Those gurus. The teachers are going to get greater trouble than even the disciples. Those who follow. So, yes, it is all the Lord's mercy that the hearing like that comes, and I hear, and I'm also very grateful for those who speak, that we also get a chance to hear like that. And even more grateful when we have discussions with the Bodhis. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Dang. So thank you, Mataji, and thank you even greater, Srila Prabhupada. Shyam Gauri Mataji, Jai, accept humble obeisances, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Very good question. You go to a devotee's house. So on the altar, they have the devotees, the deities that Srila Prabhupada has directed us to worship. But we also, then you see other demigods also being there, which means they're also being honored. The only way that I see anything good coming out of that is if we ask the demigods to help us to remember Krishna, especially Lord Shiva, because he's, you know, given the title the best devotee of the Lord, we can definitely request for bhakti. If we are thinking in terms of this is a devotee of the Lord, and is on the altar for that reason. But if we are thinking of this devotee, and this kind of devotee, has those demigods and is praying to them for material help, then they are in the wrong. There's no other way to put it. So it all has to do with the intentions. You certainly can ask demigods to help you with remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead and doing things devotional. Yes, that's there, especially Lord Shiva. He's always meditating on Lord Vishnu. So that's there, but outside of that, Krishna provides everything. There's no need to go to demigod for any other thing material. It's not. Krishna gives the protection, full protection. We just don't, you know, sometimes want to believe it. Now, I don't know why, but that's about as much as I can say in that situation. I wouldn't do it, personally, but they ask those who do it, as long as they're asking for things connected with bhakti to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then that's okay, and if they're not, then it's questionable as to what they have heard and how they are practicing. Hare Krishna. They will learn that they can have whoever on the altar. That's, I have to agree with you, and that's the dangerous part of it. That is the dangerous part of it. And that's why we should have on the altar, Shishu Hare Krishna, Gonitai, Krishna Balaram, Jagannath Baladev, Subhadra, the six Goswamis, the Parampara, up to the spiritual master, and have Tosi on the side. Srila Prabhupada has given the instruction. So it is better to have it that way. And yes, the situation has come, and in fact, I'll just bring up, in other words, I'm not disagreeing with you, I'm actually agreeing with you that it can mislead people. Because we've had situations where new people coming to the temple in Harrisburg, we were having a time that we were meeting and we're talking about Krishna. And then there was one particular devotee that thought that, you know, he's quite a scholar and he could bring in other people's views and so on. And devotees got very concerned because new people could be misled into thinking that we're doing comparative religion and you can just bring this person's idea and that person's idea. So there were some, one particular Mataji, white bodied Mataji, they had to sit her down after this particular Prabhu talked about all kinds of situations not taught by Srila Prabhupada, even though he's an ISKCON devotee. And so they came to me about the situation, and I had to go to the Prabhu's house and have a discussion with them. Literally have a discussion with him. And he got upset with me and I apologized, but I made my point still that, you know, it's going to mislead people. They're thinking that way. I said, you know, you preach, you know what is Srila Prabhupada said. And this goes to Srila Prabhupada the whole way. He said, well, I thought that it was a discussion you can bring anybody. I said, no, that's not going to work because it's going to confuse people. You have to know the audience that you're talking to. And so he got upset with me and decided, said, well, I'm not going to come around anymore and do that discussion. I said, that's not the point. Anyway, we changed the subject and I said, told me other positive things. But in the end, he stuck by his decision not to come around to the newcomers and talk to them, even though he has so much to share. So yeah, we have to be careful and very sensitive to, you know, if we're doing things involving demigods, knowing what Srila Prabhupada said about demigods, and we have merchants of demigods, then we have to be very, very, very careful what we're doing. Because yes, it can mislead. It can mislead those who are not, who are new and not well set in this. And they may be new and then they may be demigod worshippers themselves. And then they come and they say, oh, it's a devotee's house. It has demigod murtis there too. Okay. So just like another Hindu temple, we have, you know, demigods and have, Lord Ram and Lakshman, Sita, Hanuman, Radha, Krishna, all of them in there at one time. We have to know who is the supreme and set up the homes to show who is supreme. That is the best thing. That is the best thing, without a doubt. Hare Krishna. So Sangoi Mataji, I'm glad you brought it up. The body should be careful. And there's a very good argument that you brought up. The person that worships me directly is not my devotee, but the person that worships the devotee of my devotee, yeah, he is my devotee. Therefore, I'll go to Hanuman because Hanuman is the devotee of Lord Ram, and Lord Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, if I worship Hanuman, what do you want from Hanuman? That's the question. What do you want from Hanuman? You want to be able to connect to Lord Ram? And mentioning Lord Ram's name three times is mentioning the name of Krishna once. We've been told all of that. Why go through that process? You can go to them. We're not saying that because the argument is quite sound. But a person that's worshiping with that intention of worshiping the devotee, yeah, that can be understood. But Hanuman is also in a demigod status. Therefore, if you're going to worship Hanuman, then you better worship Hanuman because you want Lord Ram, and you better worship Lord Ram because you want Lord Krishna. Or just say, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. The point is, why go through several steps to get to the top when you've been given an elevator that takes you, the mantra goes straight up to the top? What's the point? Hare Krishna. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped, all the demigods are satisfied. When you give food to the stomach, all the parts of the body is satisfied. Hanuman cannot be Hanuman for who he really is if a person begins to worship Krishna when they used to worship Hanuman before. Hanuman should be even more pleased that his master is being worshipped based on the guru's instruction. Don't think Hanuman does not know Bhagavad Gita. He knows way more than we do. Way more. Way more. So no, Hanuman will not. The short answer to that is the Lord Hanuman, being the greatest devotee, or one of the greatest devotees, is not bound to get upset in the mode of worship in this Kali Yuga that we have been given. I would be extremely surprised that anybody could argue that Hanuman would be upset about it. Although it's understandable, the person is attached to worshiping Hanuman for decades. That's true. People have been attached to worshiping Lord Shiva for decades. That's also true. Family to family to family members have been told to worship, you worship like that. They've done until Srila Prabhupada came and set the record straight, Bhagavad Gita as it is. So if we follow that, we don't have any problems. Guess who can take us to the spiritual world? Not Hanuman. Not Hanuman. Yeah? He told us to chant 16 rounds. I'm not putting Hanuman down. But the representative of the Supreme Personality of God has simplified the method for us. So definitely have a heart connection with Hanuman, but worship according to the spiritual master's instruction. No, if you worship the Supreme Lord according to the instructions given by Lord Chaitanya, Hanuman will never have an issue with it. If anything, he'll be even more pleased. Hare Krishna. And I'm absolutely sure of that. Okay. Hare Krishna. When we chant that, a worshipper of Hanuman, if you have a debate with that person, Hanuman says, chant Hare Krishna. You say, oh, but I worship Hanuman. Hanuman is a disciple of Lord Ram. There is also Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Then what? Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So here it is covered. Your master is Lord Ram and he is in my mantra. So then, it's covered. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Gosha Prabhupada. Any other? Hare Krishna. We've been elevated. Nobody thinks you should, this, Krishna consciousness means elevation to the highest platform. It's not that we are losing something and going to another. No, we are being elevated. Transcendentally. This is what it means. We're being elevated. That we were also, I was Catholic and all. We've been through all of that. Oh no. This is the best. This is the highest. Hare Krishna. Devotee Association. Yes. So we can remind each other. You can remind each other. No, you have not lost. If you've worshipped Hanuman for a long time and now you're worshipping Krishna, you've gained more. You've gained more than Hanuman can give you. Lord Chaitanya himself came to set this up. Hanuman worships. Anyway, there's no point belaboring the point. And prepare for Janmashtami. That's wonderful coming on Wednesday. Okay. Hare Krishna. Vanchakapaturubhyascha kripa sunibhya eva cha vachitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Prabhupada ki jai. Vaishnava Thakur ki jai.